Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
With Bob Seeley, the island's MP, I was going to ask him a few questions about things to do with being an MP. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hello, how's things? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm not too bad at all, thanks. I know you've got a cough, so we'll spare you too many long answers. Firstly, what do you want to ask, Maggie?
What I'd like to ask you is, what made you want to become an MP?
It's a difficult question, really. I've always been drawn to the idea of it, but I like ideas and I love current affairs, and I'm interested in the world, and always have been. And that exhibits itself in different ways. So when I was young, I was a journalist, and I lived in the Soviet Union just before it collapsed, and then for a few years after its collapse. And I was fascinated by the world and the way the world worked, and the role of ideas in life. Because, you know, we have a very stable and very prosperous society in Britain. We're very, very lucky. But if you go to lots of other parts of the world, they're not so lucky. And in places like the Soviet Union and the Russian Empire, as it was, some of that, you know, there are lots of different reasons why societies progress in the way that they do. But a lot of that is the ideas that they take and they use in that society. And in 1917, you had the Bolshevik Revolution, and you had socialism and communism and collectivization and etc. And this had a massive impact on that society. And I was fascinated by it and wanted to go and see it. I don't think I was very friendly to it because it had killed lots of people. Tens of millions were killed either in forced famines or in the labor camps or just executed by the Soviets. And, you know, we fought a Cold War against them for decades. But it was really interesting to go there and to travel around this, you know, final great collapsing European empire and to study it. So I was very lucky and I wanted to go and see that and to try to understand it. And after I'd been there for a bit, I lived in America for 2 years because I thought, well, now I've seen the Soviet Union, I want to go and see the United States. And yet they came back to Britain. So I've always been really interested in ideas. And so that's the bigger picture. The smaller picture is representing people, arguing for them, having a life where you gear yourself for something more than just your own life, but to help other people. I've always been attracted to the idea of public service. So I enjoyed my time in the army. You know, I love my time being a councillor, which I'm about to give up. And, you know, I love my time being a member of parliament as well. It's nice to feel that you're fighting for something, you know, bigger.
Comprehensive answer, wasn't it?
Certainly was. Were you involved in sort of debating societies at school and that kind of thing?
I remember a little bit being... I went to all the political debates at school. I was really fascinated by the politicians who used to come and talk to us. So a little bit, but I didn't do very well at school. I'd slightly messed up my education. So I didn't do a first degree, and then it was an MA. I didn't do that until my late 20s. In fact, I might have been older. I can't remember when. I think it was when I was about 30 I did my first degree. So I was always interested in that sort of thing, but I can't say I was ever, you know, never took an active part or a formal part in debating societies. But I was always interested in. I remember reading newspapers avidly as a teenager, and, you know, reading The Guardian on one side and The Telegraph and The Times on the other side, and looking at the differences of opinion.
So not necessarily steeped in politics, but interested in world affairs. So that's a fairly comprehensive background.
I find current affairs more interesting than party politics. The party politics thing, you know, you've got to sign up to be one of the political parties in because that's the reality. And I'm conservative with a small C. I'm liberal conservative. But I'm more interested in genuine debate about ideas than scoring points. Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't think you get much respect for being the sort of person who likes to score points. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much avoid that. So if I do challenge people in debate, I want it to be on things that are reasonably meaningful and profound rather than trivial and point scoring, which I think is important.
That is, I think, very important. But as you say, you have to sign up to a party, or is it just easier to go through the election system if you are a member of a party?
I'm a conservative. You know, and I think for me, I think ideological parties have been a disaster for mankind. Be it fascism or communism or socialism or Nazism, these things have all been pretty awful. Okay, socialism in this country has not been as destructive as it has been elsewhere in the world, but it hasn't been good for Britain. And I think conservatism and liberalism are the two very powerful and very successful ideas that have effectively come out of this country, and in the secular world, or broadly secular world, that we now in part inhabit, those two ideas, and there's a certain friction between them, but traditional ideas of liberalism, traditional ideas of conservatism, those are the successful political ideas of our era. And for me, they both now broadly sit in what you'd call the Conservative Party, but sort of a fairly sort of broad church. So by values, absolutely, I sign up broadly to those principles. But the difference is they're not ideologies, they're sets of beliefs, they're sets of values, and they're broader. And I think for me that means the Conservatives are much more adaptable, and that's one reason why they've been much more successful as a political party than others over the previous decades and centuries.
You were elected in June this year, and that's been a fairly busy time for you then since then.
It's been very busy as well. It's a labour of love, always going to be. It's been a very busy time. We're trying to do lots of things at once, and, you know, we'll get better at it. Lots of things need to be done, and we're trying to fight lots of battles at the moment. I'm very busy meeting lots of ministers. We've delivered some victories, which is good, over Sandown School and then getting the academy out there. And making sure that the South West Rail franchise negotiations, they talk about the extension of the line and improvement to the line and all the good things that needs. I spent yesterday at St Mary's that's just my second visit in the past few weeks, and I'll do other visits there because there are going to be important changes in healthcare, and we need to make sure we get the best possible deal for the island in that. So there's lots of things to be done. And it's, you know, it's very much a learning curve for me to make sure that I do things to the best of my abilities and serve the island to the best of my abilities.
So could I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you first turn up at Westminster,
yeah,
what is the first thing you have to do? And after you've done whatever it is you have to do, what's the first thing you look for? Is it the loos or coffee or your office?
I think I turned up on the Sunday because not many people were there that day, and it was a good day to sign on. So the first thing I did is meet my parliamentary assistant I had the day before, and we went and signed on, as in, you know, I went and just registered as an MP. And then you sit there, and then it's a bit like sort of maybe joining a job or signing up at university. There's a series of like one-stop shops that you go to, say, right, this is your password, this is your account, you know, this is your temporary workspace. And you're just walked through a series of things that, you know, you sign up for, and you have the information notices and how to use the parliamentary software. And, you know, that's just a process that takes initially about half a day. Then you normally get somebody, I had somebody from the, from the clerks of the House, I think, to show me around. And you get shown the chamber, and you get shown the voting lobbies. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I asked where was the loo at some point. And there, it was a Sunday, so the coffee, the best place that does coffee was not open. So I was probably suffering because I like my coffee. And I think I probably nipped outside for a coffee at some point, up to, some coffee shop nearby. But and then from the Monday onwards, the whips, and I'm pretty sure it's the same for Labour and the Conservatives, the whips will sit you down and say, right, this is what you do. And so, you know, but you find out, I mean, I'm trying now to organise. I've become the convener for my 2017 intake for the Conservatives. So I think at the moment we are looking to do some more training, because you take in just about all the initial information you've got to learn, but then there's always more to learn. So I know more or less know how debates work, but there's lots of other things that you can learn about. So how do we do private members' bills? I want to start having debates about the island, which is going to be important for me, and I hope for the island as well. So it's how, you know, I need to, how do I go and call Westminster Hall debates, which I'm going to start doing in the new year.
So are you given a seat on a bench, or do you just pick one?
Go wherever you want. And actually, with the first few debates, I was working out where the best place to stand and sit was. Do you sit near the minister so you can sort of mentally prod them, or do you sit far away? And, you know, I learn. So every time I stand up, I look at my performance. I hate looking at myself. I'm just hate pictures. I'm looking at pictures of myself on videos. But I'll look at it and I'll sort of think, well, okay, but you didn't stand straight enough, and you read too much from the script. So next time, you know, prep your point you're going to make better, or try not to read it so much, or maybe, you know, There's a tendency to slouch slightly because you're slightly reading, you're looking down, you're looking at the minister, so you're arching your shoulders, which doesn't help your breathing, doesn't help your voice projection. So it's little things like that. So every time I look at it, I think, okay, how can I do it better next time? And hopefully I am improving. It's not for me to say, but I'm trying to. So every time I speak in Westminster, in either the parliamentary chambers, I try to improve, and I try to improve the quality of the point I'm making, because it has to be clear to the minister what I want to get out of that minister, what I'm asking them. But also it has to be, you know, when it's about the island, I want to make sure that people understand that it's very relevant to the island.
That's an interesting point, because whilst if we watch debates on television, we have the benefit of there's microphones hanging everywhere in the chamber, but for you speaking, you've got to project your voice at the speaker or whoever it is you're addressing.
You do. I mean, they pick it up pretty quickly, so actually even if you mumble, you're going to get picked up. But I think actually being assertive gets people listening. And if people on the opposite benches are chatting and talking to each other, if you're waffling, then people start talking elsewhere in the chamber. Mm. And I don't really want that, because I want the minister to be listening to me, not for any reasons of vanity or ego on my part, but if I'm asking about the Isle of Wight, I want him to be listening to what I'm saying, and I want him to give me the answer that I want. And I don't want other people talking in a way that's going to disturb him. So at the moment, if anything, I'm almost talking too loudly and slightly too forcefully, because I'm trying to make the point and I want to get my points over.
So what sort of things fill your day?
I think it's true to say that I have more meetings with ministers than any other backbench MP, because I want to make sure that we get the Isle of Wight on their agenda. So we had the health minister down here yesterday. I accompanied him on that visit. Talk to him about it beforehand. He'll get a letter from us next week, and he might get another visit from me as well. I had a meeting with him, was it the week before last? It was about 2 weeks ago. So I've seen the health minister twice in the last 2 weeks. Had a quick chat with the rail minister. It was 2 days ago. I had a meeting with the minister responsible for cycling, Jesse Norman, about a week ago, and then followed up with a letter last week, which Cycle Wight and Natural Enterprise, very grateful to those excellent organisations, prepared for me on a vision for cycling for the Isle of Wight, because although there's no extra money for the moment at the Treasury, I want to make sure that when there is more money becomes available for non-city cycling projects, I want us to be first in the queue. So by getting that letter in now, I'm saying to the minister, go and get money, because people like me in my constituency want that money. We want to finish the second Cow cycle route. We want the West Wight cycle route, and we want it on as much as possible the old railway line. You know, we need these routes, and we need to establish the island to be a really good place to cycle. And as people point out online and elsewhere, you know, some of the Sandown route isn't, you know, I've cycled on it quite recently, I mean a couple of months ago, and it's quite bumpy, some of that route from Newport down to Sandown, or bits of it. So we need investment. So I'm talking to a lot of ministers about a lot of subjects.
So there's the ministers, and then there's answering constituents' questions or problems?
That's a huge amount of it. And I know that I'm getting, some people saying, well, you're not answering questions quickly enough. We have, like every other MP, it can take about between 2 weeks and a month to get back to people, because some of the questions people ask are complicated, and we can't just respond saying yes or no. We actually have to go away, have meetings, dig around for the answers. This is the largest constituency in Britain. I have a fantastic team. I think we need to hire another caseworker, and we'll do so shortly. But we just don't have the capacity to answer social media comments. Especially if somebody's saying, you know, I really hate you, what do you think about that on Facebook? I'm sorry, I'm not going to write a sort of 13-page, you know, iambic pentameter response on parchment. I'm sorry, that's fine. If somebody's going to email me to my office, or write to me a letter, or phone and raise an issue, they will get a proper response. But on social media, we don't have the capacity to respond. And I think some people nowadays don't understand that as you're an MP, you're going to get well over 1,000 emails and letters a week.
Oh, wow.
And this is not just, hi, Bob, what do you want for tea? It's not sort of you emailing the missus or the mister or your boyfriend or girlfriend or what have you. This is, we're having 200-plus emails and letters a day. Now, some of that is these campaign emails, but some of it is saying, I'm being kicked out of my house in 2 weeks and my kids and I have got nowhere to go. And I can't just email back saying, well, you know, do this, do that. You have to give a considered response. And so it is a little bit frustrating when I hear people saying, well, you're not doing this quickly enough, you're doing that quickly enough. We have to give a decent response to people, and it takes time. Mm. Now, this is a new office. We've just established ourselves. We only moved into our office about a month and a half, two months ago now. So it's a work in progress. Probably need to hire somebody else. My office do a fantastic team, and I'm incredibly grateful to them. I work very hard on this myself, and we all work hard to try to do our best for the island and make sure people get the responses they want. But I can't turn around a response when you have over 1,000 correspondents a week. That's nearly, it's about 4,500 a month at the moment. Mm. You know, I'm sorry, we can't turn around a response in 24 hours.
No.
If people want a serious response, we can't turn around a response in 24 hours.
So I don't want to invite too many more comments for you, but if people want to contact you...
We love having comments from people. I'm just bringing up my website. So there are lots of ways to contact me, and we clearly really welcome, people coming along to the surgeries, because we're speaking in the West White Sports Centre now. I've just had a surgery. We've just had, a very nice and fascinating mix of people through. So go onto my website, Bob Seeley, which is B-O-B, S for sugar, E for Edward, E for Edward, L for Lima, Y for Yankee, .org.uk. So bobseeley.org.uk. And on there, you will find lots of ways to contact me, which is my email, which is bob.seeley, S-E-E-L-Y, .mp at parliament.uk. That's bob.seeley.mp at parliament.uk. Or the constituency office is the Isle of Wight, which is 01983 220 220. Or people can write to me at Bob Seeley MP, Northwood House, Ward Avenue, WARD, Ward Avenue, Cowes, PO 31, that's Papa Oscar 31, 8AZ, that's 8 Alpha Zulu.
Thank you very much, Bob. We'll leave you to let your voice recover and wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much indeed. If the Lurgy doesn't get me, I hope to be back in the new year.
Thanks very much.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.